Increasingly, professional athletes are using their influence for politically motivated protest. Over the past 2 weeks, we've seen the American Basketball League come to a halt, and tennis has also been affected, with athletes similarly cancelling matches in support of Black Lives Matter movement. Against this backdrop, our sports correspondent Dr. Michelle O'Shea from Western Sydney University will speak with us about the Rule 50 of Olympic Charter governing political protest at the Olympic movement. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, we're certainly seeing the rise of athlete activism, you know, both abroad and certainly in Australia. And while we've seen athletes across the globe taking a knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, sport and protests are also really significant among the Olympic movement. And following recent medal sort of podium protests, there was a fencer, Race Imeden, he took a knee last year, as did hammer thrower Ewan Berry, and he raised a fist. And then we sort of had a slightly different situation with Australian Mack Horton, but he refused to stand beside Chinese swimmer Sung Yang in January of 2020 of this year. And it was following those three kind of incidents that the International Olympic Committee announced new guidelines governing athlete demonstrations and protests at obviously the now postponed 2020 Summer Olympics.
And so what are the ramifications if athletes do contravene these guidelines?
Yeah, and so, we, you know, sort of historically we've seen protests sort of peppered through the Olympic movement, and Rule 50 of the Charter provides a framework to protect the neutrality of sport and the Olympic Games. And so the guidelines specifically preclude protests at all Olympic venues, and that is at the field of play, the Olympic Village, ceremonies and opening and closing ceremonies. But there's also sort of this curious phrase in the rule that says, if respecting local laws, athletes can express their opinions. And this is at press conferences and interviews, at team meetings, or on digital or traditional media. And this is the issue around sort of this notion of what is indeed opinion or protest. So Rule 50.2 guidelines provide examples of what would constitute a protest. And these include sort of political messaging, such as signs or armbands, gestures of a political nature, such as, you know, raising a fist or taking a knee, and refusals to follow ceremony protocols, as with Mack Horton. So, yeah, so this is sort of the issue at hand. And as you say, well, what are the implications? What are the ramifications if they do indeed contravene the guidelines? And the breaches are really ambiguous. And it actually says each incident will be evaluated by their respective National Olympic Committee, their International Federation, and the IOC. And disciplinary action will be taken on a case-by-case basis as necessary. So, you know, to kind of break the bond between sport and politics and this kind of notion of what they're seeing as interference is really contentious. And, you know, while the idea that sport is a human right is increasingly recognised, sport's also a really powerful vehicle to promote greater participatory democracy and to really help redress inequities, especially as they relate to issues around race, gender, class, and religion. And, you know, a very recent example is 2018 at the Winter Games, North and South Korea fielding a united team.
Our sports correspondent, Dr. Michelle O'Shea from Western Sydney University is with us. And against the backdrop of these momentous leaps, and at a time when activism amongst athletes has really surged, it does beg this question: why does the IOC seek to silence athletes seeking to influence the greater good?
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, one response, I guess, among many, and this is the issue, it's really contentious, is that the Olympics is more than a forum for individual protest and what the IOC sees as dissent. And if we kind of think back about the values of the modern Olympic movement and founder Baron Pierre de Coubertin, he promoted the notion that the world could come together in this kind of athletic context, that sporting endeavour would build a better world, and that sport would promote peace and in doing so change lives. But there's sort of some recent research which has been done, and this has been done by Olympic committees across the world. And in Australia, athletes and feedback in relation to Rule 50, the voices are really split. So it's almost 40-40. So 40% of Australian Olympians thought the game should not be a place where athletes express their views. and nearly 40% felt that the circumstances were important. But we're also seeing some interesting generational changes as it relates to younger athletes and their belief that the Games is and should indeed be a platform for self-expression. But there was consensus regarding protest on the field of play and on podium. So 80% of Australian Olympians agreed that these demonstrations kind of detracted from the performance and the experience of athletes. But I guess, ironically, this is where many protests have taken place. So, yeah, some are arguing that providing Olympians with clarity on what constitutes protest helps rather than hinders them. But there's this other view, and this is an increasingly salient view, that to curtail athlete agency is to constitute a denial of freedoms that really should be vigorously resisted. So, yeah, athlete commissions across the globe are surveying their athletes, and the IOC is considering a further review of the guidelines. So it'll be really interesting to watch these developments, especially in view of the postponed Games, but also what's been going on in global sport over the last few weeks especially.
Michelle, thank you so much for your time and your insight this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Sports correspondent Dr. Michelle O'Shea speaking with us about protests in sport. And if you'd like to hear more about Michelle's thoughts about this topic, keep an eye out on The Conversation for her upcoming article.